Doug. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, isn't that a wonderful thought? That every day that we live, we can walk in the presence of God and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us. He said that he is with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said in verse 20, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He had made a great promise, however, to the disciples that in his departure, in his leaving this world, he said, I'm going away, but I will send the Comforter who will guide you and do all things. And we know that that Comforter was to be no less than the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is a very interesting study. When you stop and think about this great gift of God, and he really is the gift of God. He is a personality. He is the paraclete in the Greek. It's the one who stands by us. And the Bible says that he makes groanings for us, which we may not understand. Romans chapter 8, even with words that we cannot speak when we pray unto our Father in heaven. And Paul also wrote to that Roman church that we are to walk in the Spirit. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But we hear people talk a lot today about living that Spirit-filled life. You know, there really isn't anything mystical about that. And even though there are those who would want us to assume that or believe that, we know that we can live the Spirit-filled life if we possess Christ. But there are a number of things that I want to share with you tonight about that. You know, every day is a new day for the child of God. It is. If you ever watch CNN in the morning, I don't watch it a whole lot, but there are times when I've caught it. I generally watch Fox News. But anyway, their morning program is just simply called New Day. Now, you and I, because of the great promises of God, live a new day. Yesterday ended last night. And today will end shortly. And there will be a new beginning, if you will. But today is brand new, and it is ours. We can do this day whatever we choose to do with our life. And the Bible says of God that his mercies are new every morning. You know, I love to see the morning. I really do. I get up early every morning because I like to see the dawn of the new day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Not every evening, but new every morning. There is something about the freshness of a new day. In the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, 21 through 24, King Solomon, who wrote this book, said, This I recall to my mind. He said, Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and he says, Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. That probably sounds a little familiar to it, because there is a song that we sing that contain those same words. But the Lord's mercies are new every day. For you see, God's steadfast love never fades away. His faithfulness and his mercy are new every day. And aren't we glad? I am. I think about the fact that the old night is gone, and here we are on the brink of a new day, and you and I are challenged to live our lives by the mercies of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul would speak to almost every church in the first century and remind them of God's eternal mercy. He would begin by talking about God's mercy and his grace, and he too would refer to the fact that those mercies are new every day. And I'll tell you one thing about the mercy of God. God's mercy is bigger than any of your mistakes, according to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. You know, some of our mistakes are in our mind. Sometimes we ponder things in our mind and we dwell on it and we don't think on the right things. But we need to think on the things that are good. And we've been doing a study about that here in our auditorium class on Sunday morning. And one of the things that we should be thinking about is the mercy and the grace of God. For if we're going to live a Spirit-filled life, and the Holy Spirit does dwell within us, Paul says, listen, that the Holy Spirit does dwell within you, except you be reprobate. Paul would later write of the church, and he would also write of the individual in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he would say that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which temple ye are. We all sin, therefore we need the mercies of God. Sins, when we think about our sins, we should reflect upon them and repent. Not repeat them over and over again and then regret them. You know, one of the great promises of God, if we live that Spirit-filled life, is that what is coming is much better than what has gone. Every day we are so blessed, aren't you? You know what? I just see the different mercies of God and His blessings every morning, every day, and they are new. Aren't you glad every day isn't just alike? I am. But how do we successfully live a Spirit-filled life in Christ? That's a big question, isn't it? How do we do it? Well, there are four things that you need to know about God. If you're going to be able to do that, you have to be aware and cognizant of these four things that I want to share with you tonight. And if you really are aware of them and you really believe them and you comprehend and understand them, then I can tell you most assuredly that it will be a new day for you tomorrow. It will be. First of all, we need to be reminded every day of the presence of God. Do you know God is present among us? Even Jesus said that, didn't he, in Matthew 18? He said, where two or more gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But do you know, even in the singular, that God is with us. David said in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk, not we, not plural, but he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And you know what? Bidden or not bidden, that is, whether you ask God to be with you or you don't ask God to be with you, God is going to be with you as a child of God. He will lead you, He will guide you, and He is ever present. The simple fact of God being present each morning renews for us His mercies. Now, that's what Solomon had in mind in that book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And when Paul would take the liberty by the inspiration of God, this Holy Spirit that had been promised, he would write these words to encourage the church. He would say that there is one God and one Father of all who is above all and through all, and listen to this, and in you all. But he is in them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people have a mistaken idea that the Spirit of God does not live within us. I have had preachers through the years even try to tell me that when the Holy Spirit came into the world and God sent him, his main mission was to inspire men to write the Bible or the Word of God. And I understand that. Peter would write in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 that our prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. And we understand that. And every word of God, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, is inspired of God. It is God-breathed. So I understand all of that. But I don't believe that the totality of the mission and the work of the Holy Spirit is relegated to the writing of the Bible. I believe that the Holy Spirit lives within us every day. Now, a lot of people do not subscribe to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But I believe that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And I think that's what Paul mentions. The book of Isaiah is a great book. It is called the Messianic Book. The Messiah, that is the Messiah. That's where we get the word Messianic. But the prophet Isaiah talked more about the coming Messiah and Jesus than anyone else. And in Isaiah 40, verse 28 and 29, he said, hast thou not known? He said, "Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth," listen to this, "he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength." How does he do that? He does it by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit enables you to live as God wants you to live. Whether you believe that or not. Now, there are a lot of people that don't believe that, but I'm telling you, folks, life would be terrible without the presence of the Holy Spirit. I welcome that comforter in my life. I like Psalms 46:1 because it too tells it like it really is. That God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. God, listen, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, I'm not suggesting that once you're saved, you're always saved. And that's a very popular doctrine. But I'm telling you, you can leave God. People do all the time. People that have been very faithful to God leave God all the time. People that have been faithful to the church for years and years. It isn't uncommon to find somebody that's unfaithful and to hear them say, "Well, I used to be a faithful Christian, but I'm not today." Because we have the capacity to leave God. But notice what God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Always, everywhere, God is present. Sometimes when tragedy happens, people have the propensity to ask the question, "Well, where was God when that happened?" Sometimes it can be a terrible, terrible thing. There was a terrible shooting over in Mississippi this afternoon, and eight or nine people, I can't remember, were killed. Terrible thing. One police officer. And you look at that and people say, "Well, where was God when that was happening? Where was God when people were being killed over in Manchester, England?" God was present. You see, God didn't create us like robots, though, however. He doesn't force us to serve him. We have a choice in whether or not we're going to honor God with our life or whether we're going to follow him. It is a choice that we make. Now, I believe that God comforts us when we face those great tragedies in life. And you're going to see something else in a moment that you may have never heard, but something that is extremely important. But why do you need to stop trying to feel God or his presence? I hear people many, many times and have had them say this to me throughout the years. "I just don't feel God in my life." I'll never forget, several years ago, Audrey and I had been studying with the manager of Winn-Dixie. How many of you remember when Winn-Dixie was here in Palestine? Y'all remember that was a grocery store? And anyway, Audrey and I studied with this man and his wife, and they were baptized. Our baptistry was non-functional for some reason or another. I don't remember exactly. We didn't have somebody like Bob Steck around trying to fix it and keep it going at that time. But Doug, we had to go over to Queen and DeBard and baptize this couple. And I'll never forget when she was baptized, she came up out of the water and she says, "I don't feel any different." I tried to explain to her that a relationship with God is not based upon our feelings, folks. It isn't. That's why the Bible said there is a way that feels right in a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. God is present whether you feel him or not. God is among us tonight whether you feel his presence or whether you do not. In the book of Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, Moses wrote, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandment to a thousand generations." Now that's a generic term. It says that you're going to be faithful to God. God is present even when we feel he has left us or he is absent. Psalms 105, David again says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." His mercy endureth. In Psalms 41 and verse 10, David said, "Fear not," as he spoke concerning the Lord, "for I am with you." Every day, isn't it comforting to know that God is with us, that he's right beside us, that he is the great comforter. And because of this, every morning we can awake to God's mercies that are new and fresh. But there's another thing that you need to know. And that is that God's blessings continue. They do. Have you ever really stopped to think about how blessed you are? People say that sometimes in a flippant way every day. People say, "Aren't we a blessed nation?" And then they turn around and cuss or curse people in this nation. People talk about what a wonderful privilege it is to be a Christian, and then we begin to doubt the blessings of God when something comes our way. David said, "I am greatly blessed and highly favored and deeply loved." I'm going to tell you something. I think that every one of us could say that in Genesis 8 and verse 22. He says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Listen to what he says. I'd like for Mr. Gore, our previous vice president, to go back and read this passage if he believes in global warming and that, you know, there will never be a continuation of seed time and harvest. It's all going to burn up. Well, it's not unless it's at the mighty hand of God. There will always be the harvest. We don't understand the season sometimes, why it gets hot, why it gets cold, why we didn't have much winter this year. I don't understand that. 2 days when it got below freezing. That wasn't a bad winter, was it? Matthew 5:45, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." You see, God's blessings continue. In Acts 14 and 17, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. For in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Now that's what God's servant said of God. Galatians 3:14 says that Christ redeemed us. Now listen to the rest of this. "That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles," non-Jews, "through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit." That's a capital S, by the way. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, through faith. In Acts 3 and verse 26, "Unto you who first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your or his iniquities." Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And because of all of that, I can live that Spirit-filled life. You know, the sovereignty of God is something it is something that we all ought to comprehend every day. That God ruled over yesterday, he rules over today, and he will rule forever. But there's something else you need to understand of those four things that you need to know if you're going to live the Spirit-filled life. That old things are passed away. It would be hard for me, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but it'd be hard for me to live a Spirit-filled life if I had to continue to worry about the old sins that have been committed in my life. They're washed away. They're gone. And the Bible says we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. Those sins are gone. And sometimes people find it very difficult to forgive themselves, and God has already forgiven it, and they keep going back to God, asking God to remove the sins that God took away a long time ago. And what happens, it is a denial of God and a lack of faith on our part when we do not feel that God has honestly forgiven us of our sins. And God says, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember against them no more." That's what Jeremiah 31 said. Wouldn't it be great to wake up in the morning, and consider this, to wake up in the morning and have all of our past mistakes erased? You know, when you go to bed tonight, let me tell you this, pray that God will remove all of your sin stains. Don't lay your head on the pillow tonight without asking God to forgive you of your sins. And when you do, you will awaken in the morning, listen, ready to live the Spirit-filled life. For when one becomes a Christian, based upon the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we can always welcome a new beginning based upon the words of Revelation 7 and verse 14 that tell us, and listen to this, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, that's what God's servant said. We sing the old song, do we not? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. You know what the flow is? It's the flow of the blood of Jesus. In Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And while we may have to live with the consequences of some of our past choices, and that happens, we don't have to live with the guilt. It's removed. It's gone. It's a new day. Colossians 3:10 says, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's God, isn't it? Philippians 3:13 and 14, Paul understood it. So he says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. And that word apprehend means to arrive at the destination. And Paul says, I haven't done that. But this one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want you to look at this graph. If any man be in Christ. Now, this is what Paul wrote again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if any man be in Christ, old things are washed away. Old things are gone. And all things have become new. Who couldn't live a Spirit-filled life knowing that? Listen to it again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold. That word behold is a very interesting word. You don't see that a lot. We certainly don't generally say that today if we're in conversation with someone. We don't say, behold. I have something to tell you, but what? When that word is used, and when it was used by Paul, it was used to catch your attention that he's getting ready to say something monumental. And so he says, behold, I make all things new. Someone said, your past has absolutely nothing to do with your future in God. It is so bright that you may need to wear your sunglasses. Someone told me one time, they said, you know what? Your future is as bright as the promises of God. And that brings me to the fourth point that we need to know. And that is that God's promises are sure. How many of you have ever made a promise that you did not keep? Anybody in here ever make a promise you didn't keep? Is there anyone in here tonight who never made a promise that you did not keep? You always kept your promises. Not a hand goes up. You know what? That's not true of God. For in Titus 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. Now, politicians make them all the time. People make them all the time. They make promises that they know at the moment that they make that promise they will not be able to keep. But the Bible says, and this is true, that God is faithful to what he promised. God Almighty is fully capable of accomplishing his promises, even when we think that it is impossible for him to do so. Sometimes we read the Bible and we say, I know what God said about that, but boy, I just don't see how God's going to do that. You know, it doesn't matter whether we see how God's going to do it or not. If God promised it, hey, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to accept it. And in Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter in verse 42, this great prophet of God, he is called the weeping prophet. He said, for thus saith the Lord, like as I brought all of this great evil upon this people, so will I bring them all the good that I have promised them. God's promises isn't that. Now listen to this. This is an important thought, folks. When we think about the great promises of God, it is not that he's going to keep bad things from happening to us. You see, and that's always been a tough question, isn't it? Why do bad things happen to good people? People say, well, I thought I was living the right kind of life. I thought I was doing good. And yet, calamity came. Job was a man every morning who got up and prayed for his family and his sons and everyone. And this great calamity fell upon him. But when God made a promise to take care of us, it isn't that he's going to keep us from bad things happening, but it is that he will be there if they do. Again, the ever-presence of Almighty God. His promises are true. If born of God, I have the power to overcome all that is not of God. That's a worthy statement, folks. If we're really born of God, you and I are overcomers. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God made a promise to us, but you know what happens? A lot of times we make promises to God. It's like people who say, well, when I became a Christian, I'm going to be faithful to God in all things. And you can't get folks back on Sunday night. Look, we had a full house this morning. People sometimes are not faithful when they give. People are not faithful when they pray. People are not faithful to read the Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. There is no question about any area of the promises of God because he is faithful to every one of them. And when we think about tomorrow, and I told you that tomorrow you can live that spirit-filled life. Jesus was resurrected in the morning. Now, he was crucified on a Friday, and it looked that the world looked like the world had come to an end, that it was all over. His disciples departed and left. John was the only one that we know that was at the cross, the one whom Jesus loved. But after the aftermath of all of the terrible crucifixion and the horrible scourging of Jesus, he was resurrected to a new life in the morning, in the morning. Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, listen to this now, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, what does that mean? It means to make alive. It means to live. That's what the word quicken actually means. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. Now look at that again. It's not just a spirit, but the spirit of God. Capital S. That spirit that dwelleth in you. I like this passage. It's a source of great comfort to me. Especially when you've had a long day and a lot of problems and issues and you're facing all those things. In the book of Psalm 30 and verse 5, David said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In the morning. I told you that I like the morning. I like the morning because sometimes I step out on our patio there and I watch the birds fly and you hear them sing. You see the squirrels chasing one another. and you see the freshness of the new day, the dew on the grass. There's just something about the newness of God's presence also. This, my friend, is how you live that spirit-filled life in Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. The people that go through life miserable all the time, they're not living a spirit-filled life. They've got just enough of the Spirit to make them miserable. It is. Just enough to make them miserable. But I'm going to tell you something. Christ lives in me. And the real issue and the real question tonight is, does He live in you? Does He really live in you? I hope that as you search your heart and examine your life tonight, if you feel that perhaps there is something missing in your life. You know, you try and you want to live and you want to believe all this, but there's something missing in your life tonight. Maybe it's because you're not really Spirit-filled. You've not allowed the Spirit to guide you and lead you into what you need to do. And I hope tonight that as we sing this song of encouragement, that every one of us will search our hearts and be able to determine what we need to do to make our life more Spirit-filled, because we can. And if you feel the need of prayer tonight in your life or rededication to the call of Jesus, then Doug's going to lead us in this great hymn of exhortation and invitation. Let us stand and let us sing.